Second Chronicles 34, verse 14 through 33. Amen, amen, the message. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and delivered it into the hand of the overseers and into the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass that when the king heard the words of the law, now I want you to see it, the Bible, he rent his clothes. Garments in that day, that they were of great value. They were a great thing. And he ripped those garments. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah, the servant of the king, saying, go inquire the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that's poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that's written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikvath, the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell you the man that sent you to me. Thus saith the Lord. This reminds me of our times right now. Exactly what we've been speaking of. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I'll bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book, which they've read before the king of Judah. Because they have forsaken me, and they burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place, and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest the words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I'll gather thee to thy fathers. Now shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil I'll bring upon this place, and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Then the king sent, and he gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in the ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. You know, we're just reading a few verses. And he read all the law of Moses before these people. If I went much further than the few verses of the people, they'd start to drift away. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. The inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Amen. Such is the charge to you and I. I believe that there are but two ways that a man receives this book, that receives the Word of God. A Bible, a Holy Bible. George got a good Bible, what I call a good Bible the other day. We haven't given one away in a long, long time. And it's a blessing to my heart that somebody at least has enough hunger to say, I want the best Bible that I can get a hold of. Not all Bibles are created equal. I'm talking about in that the book itself, the printing of the book, the notes and the things of the book. It says, but two ways that a man he either receives it as the Word of God to be obeyed, or it's just a book. You know, I that letter that I emailed, the Shock Omega Shockley, that fellow, I don't know if you read down far enough, but he said the one thing that they should do in every church is they should never require a seminary degree or a PhD. Brother James told me years ago, when you go for those things, what happens is you get the Holy Ghost educated right out of you. And you do. I went for a while. But God wasn't going to let that happen to me by His grace and mercy. What is this book to you? That's what I want to ask. What is this book to you? And if it's the Word of God, how are you not daily, hourly not in it? If it's the Word of God, the answer to the question you people are looking for, it's here. It's not here. It's here. Do I not know? But you'll not get it unless you find the answer. It's here. And any of the rest, do you or I, what, Lord, do I turn to the left or the right? It's here. Well, he said, don't turn to the left or the right. Go straight ahead. You see. And if you haven't, as that old preacher told me, if you haven't been told to do something specifically, then don't do it. Just this way. What's the book to you? I believe it's as a marriage. This book. I've always said that salvation is a perfect type of a marriage. It is going to be a marriage. In other words, what is she to you? Those of you that have a wife, we all have a wife. What is she to you? Is she bone of your bones and flesh of your flesh? Such is the Word of God, it's the marrow of our body. And what is he to you? Is he not Lord, even as Christ was of the church? I mean, he is or he isn't. She's either bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, and he's either the Lord or he's not. And such is it with the Word of God. When we bring these things home to where we live, they've much more meaning, as in a marriage. You see, we say, yeah, that's a Bible. That little boy right there, he knew that was a Bible. I heard him. He knew it. He knew that was a Bible. A little boy. And I've heard him say, oh, the King James Bibles. So, listen, they tell me an eighth grader can understand it. But is it no different than when we stand at an altar? You folks stood at an altar before me, before God. We stand at an altar and we say, I do. You think that was marriage? You're 10 years down. No. I'm 35 years down the road. You think that was marriage when we stood down there in that building and said, I do? Good Lord Almighty. All the things that have befallen us in that I do. That didn't. We went off to Laredo. And it's the same with this book, you see. That's just a ceremony, you see. Anyone married, okay, that's not marriage. Man, marriage is all of these things later. Walking together. And then we turn that into such a, we make a profession of faith, and oh, they're saved. Oh, look who got saved. And all it is, it's just words. Like most marriages, it's just words based on feelings. Man, those feelings don't last long. We're going to eat some brisket here in a little while, some right behind you. Man, we're going to look at that thing and the juice is going to pour out of it and I'm going to slice that meat up and, oh man, I'm salivating now. I'm thinking about that meat. But what's going to happen 20 minutes later? Oh, 20 minutes. You want another piece of brisket? Oh, no. That's the way it is. And everything except God, and everything except this word. I've said it many times. Most who profess have never even read the Bible cover to cover. Never read the Word of God cover to cover. Now you think about that. You know, the Catholic Church martyred over 1.5 million people because of a Bible. Because of the Word of God. Simply because those people had a desire to read the Word of God. We got Bibles everywhere. We've got, listen, you've heard me tell the story. I had an 18-wheeler with a trailer pull up to the old tabernacle building and I helped him unload case after case of Bibles. Still got cases of Bibles back there, giving a lot away. Cases of Bibles back there in storage, unread. The Word of God, unread. No hunger or thirst for God. That's just the truth. We don't have a hunger and thirst for God. We hunger after other things, things of this world. Food, water, drink, places, things, people. But not this word, the Word of God. I gave everybody in this congregation about 10 years ago a book by Jonathan Edwards called Religious Affections. Man, the book so affected me. I read it. It was the same book and I had a newer printed one, an older printed one. I read them side by side. Might say I read it twice at the same time. And it so affected me that I bought a version for everybody in the congregation 10 years ago. I don't know if anybody's ever read it. To my knowledge, not a one's read it. Pilgrim's Progress. I brought what's left of the original Pilgrim's Progress. Y'all see it? I can't bring the book because it just fall apart. So I brought what piece of the covers still left there. It's because I just read it and read it and read it until it just fell apart. Listen, you wear your Bible out, call me. You won't wear out all the Bibles I have to give you. You say, the Holy Bible. I've got a quote here. I haven't read this in a little while. I used to give these out at the tabernacle. It's a quote by author W. Pink, A.W. Pink. It's come to pass just like a prophecy of the Bible itself. It's a little paragraph called Another Gospel. Y'all remember it? Maybe. He said, the gospel of Satan is not a system of revolutionary principles, nor yet a program of anarchy. It does not promote strife and war, but aims at peace and unity. It seeks not to set the mother against her daughter, nor the father against his son, but fosters the fraternal spirit whereby the human race is regarded as one great brotherhood. It does not seek to drag down the natural man, but to improve and uplift him. It advocates education and cultivation and appeals to the best that is within us. It aims to make this world such a comfortable and congenial habitat that Christ's absence from it will not be felt and God will not be needed. It endeavors to occupy man so much with this world that he has no time or inclination to think of the world to come. That's why we don't read our Bibles. We don't have time. We've got plenty of time for Satan's gospel. Another gospel. It propagates the principles of self-sacrifice, charity, and benevolence. And it teaches us to live for the good of others. And to be kind to all. Doesn't that sound appealing? That's exactly what they've been preaching in the churches since I can remember. It appeals strongly to the carnal mind and is popular with the masses because it ignores the solemn facts that by nature man is a fallen creature, alienated from the life of God and dead in trespasses and sins, and that his only hope lies in being born again. A prophecy. They went to Hilda. She was a prophetess. Josiah hears God's word in what? He rent his clothes. I thought about illustrating. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. But I could have worn a shirt today and just ripped it. Ever done such? He rent his clothes. I opened the book and we've no emotion. I've got the Bible that I use. It's in a place, exact same place. You can call it whatever you want. I had an old deacon, and we had an old deacon, and he was the same way, and we never compared notes. I don't lay anything on top of my Bible. I always want my Bible to be on top. I just won't. I won't lay this on there. I'll lay my glasses and my pen on there. But I won't cover it. I won't cover it, you see. Yet does not faith come by hearing? You know, 40, what year? I lose track. Let's see, 10, 20, 30, 70, 80, 40. 47 years ago. 47 years ago. In a Bible Baptist church in a little place called Angeles City, in the Republic of the Philippines, George's ancestral home. Angeles City is not far from where he was from. Maybe an hour's drive, as I recollect. Maybe 60 miles, I don't know. Angeles City, Republic of the Philippines, 1973. I went to a little Bible Baptist church and I heard the word of God and I wept! A drunk! Young man, 27 years old, full of vim and vigor. And I wept.
No.
I wept bitterly. No. And I cried out to God. No. Have you ever simply read God's book and wept bitterly? I have. I can take you to the place. Turn to Hebrews 13:12. I remember it like it was yesterday. Hebrews 13:12. The Bible said, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. Now listen, suffered without the gate. Outside. He said, let us, verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And I just cried. And I was sitting at a kitchen table in Silver Point, Tennessee, on Monroe Henley Ridge Road. And I just wept and I wept and I wept as if somebody had told me that someone had died. That I just wept. I broke. As you'd crack an egg, I just broke and I wept. I could see my Jesus out there. outside. They wouldn't let him in. Over 25 years ago, and I remember it as if it were today. Listen, it doesn't matter the preacher. It's the Word of God. And the Word was God. And that's why you don't to this day find it in most churches, especially the Catholic Church. And sadly now, even the Baptists or Methodists, whatever that is they use. This most popular preacher in Houston, hey, I've never seen him open a Bible. He lays it up there for effect. Amen. God forbid to hear the Word of God. You know what? You know what will happen? You hear the Word of God. In truth, what happened to King Josiah? If you got ears to hear. Today, it's become as another king. There's another king that heard the Word of God. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 20. Starting in verse 20. And they went into the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elisham, of the scribe, and they told all the words in the ears of the king. Now, you remember our text, what happened with Josiah, he rent his clothes. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and Jehudi, and he took it out of Elisham of the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife. He cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. They burnt the Bible. Yet they were not afraid nor rent their garments. Nobody did today. That's what you find. Neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah, and Jemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll. Three of them said, "No, king, please don't." But the Bible said he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeramiel, the son of Hamelech, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Bible says that the Lord hid them. And in truth, that's what most should do with the Word of God today. Burn it, because it's the only warmth they're ever going to feel from the Word of God. That which is put off by a flame. So I'm asking you today how it is with you when you hear the words of this book. For 20 years, we've had the driest altar in town that I know of, if they even have altars anymore. Is there not a desire for God in our midst? I don't find it, you see. We've some yet resisting, have never surrendered, have never bowed before this book. There's nothing wrong with that. Bow before this book. Get this book in front of you and get down before it. Hear my Lord. And just cry. Just sob. Just break. Just surrender. There's no set way. Man, they tell you, you want to get saved, and you do A, B, C, D, and A, B, we've got A, B, C, D, step 1, 2, 3, 4 for everything. They've taken Romans chapter 10, and they got, oh, here's the Roman road. Follow the Roman road. Paul got saved on Damascus Road. Shame he missed the Roman road. You see. I got saved on Little Lake Road. As I've said, we've no other word because we're not in the word. That's why our people don't have a word. You can't read this book without having a word. I'm going to tell you right now, you can't effectively read this book without having a word. I hear the word and I have to write. Melissa will tell you, I've got tablets. How many tablets? I don't know how many tablets I've bought and gone through. 100, I know. 200, 300, maybe 500. Really, I'm not making that up. You see? I'm constrained for pen and paper. I didn't bring the stacks that I've written. I did figure out that I know for sure that it's at least, if you stack the papers I've written, that they've come at least up to my waist. Probably higher, maybe to my chest. It's possible they're as tall as me. Well, I've had a set of encyclopedias. I don't know how many volumes I've written. Tens of thousands of words, line by line, and precept upon precept. The Word. All by and for the Word. Don't even know if anybody will ever read most of them. But I did. It's the way that I am. Have to be a preacher to have such hunger? God forbid. How are you not constrained to the Word of God? My old sword. Y'all, those of you who've been here, you've seen this old sword. It was my, really, it wasn't my, it was my first battle sword. It's what I took out to battle, to jails and street corners and old churches, and it's my old battle sword. Was always with me, and it'd fall apart. So I've covered it in all the blacks come off the whatever this bonded cardboard leather is. And I've tried duct tape. I've got this packing tape. They don't make packing tape like they used to. My old sword with my Pilgrim's Progress there, with the cover. I had to retire. Now I want to show you something. I've showed some of this before, those of you that aren't here in person. This little page. I had ordered a special Geneva reprint of a Geneva Bible, and I got it, and I wasn't very satisfied with it. And it was almost $300. This was many years ago. It was a lot of money then, still is. And so the guy said, well, send it back. I'll send you something in return. And we negotiated, and I got this one little tiny, that's small, isn't it? What would you say? 1, 2, 3, maybe 5x3 Bible page, New Testament Bible page. This is from a Tyndale Bible. One page from a Tyndale Bible. Almost $300. This leaf is guaranteed to be a genuine original. It's from the Tyndale New Testament, printed 1535 to 1536. Printed by William Tyndale, who was burned at the stake in 1536 for translating the Bible into English. We don't read it. It's the earliest available printing of God's Word in the English language on a piece of paper. And they strangled him and they burned him alive for this page. I said, Josiah rent his clothes. I said, they burned him alive. After he'd lived his last year cold and alone in a dungeon in Belgium, I believe it was. He was on the run. William Tyndale, he's 42 years old. Our Lord only got 33. First English Bible from Greek and Hebrew text. On October 6, 1536, he was strangled and burned alive by the Catholic Church. All he wanted was a Bible in English. And he printed one. This word. You see. I've got here, I just brought these. These are actual pages from original Geneva Bibles. From 1560 to 1644. What's that, 450 years ago? 450 years ago. Got two of them. An original Geneva, the word. If you only had this. Better than gold to those of the day. Better than salt. Geneva Bible. From which we got our King James Bible. From which we got most of. It's got the notes of the reformers in it. You see. And now the question before us. What are you going to do with it? Jeff, what are you going to do with it? George? Travis, what are you going to do with it? What are you men going to do with it? You women? What are you going to do with it? How is it that your faith does not draw you? Have you no burning desire for God's word? He said, no man come to the Father. He said, but my Father draw him. No man can come to me, Christ said. No man can come to Christ except my Father which is in heaven draw him. This is the drawing. Man, if this was a treasure map, we'd be all over it. If it was a map of prosperity or a map of what's going to be before us, it does tell us. But we don't receive it. Have you no burning desire for God's word? Millions have died simply to read it. Do we loathe the manna that God has provided us? I speak the truth when I tell you that it's my most prized possession. People say, man, you'd sell anything. I said, everything except two. I won't sell that King James Bible, and I won't sell her. She ain't for sale, and that Bible ain't for sale. My two most prized possessions. Brother David, you've heard, he can't help. When he tries to read, what happens? He weeps. He said, Brother Anthony preached at that church up in Crossville, Tennessee, Sunday night a week ago, and he just wept. He got in the Word of God, and he just wept. And he wept. I saw his weeping. Well, he just wept. It was the Word. It wasn't me, it was the Word. And finally, if you turn to the book of Nehemiah right before you get to the Psalms, which is about in the middle of the book, back up to Job, and then you get to Esther and then Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 8, they finally got back to the Holy Land from the Babylonian captivity. Verse 5 and verse 6. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. For he was above all the people. Now look. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Remember old Tony? We used to go to a church and it was full of these older Mexican people, and we'd go in this church and in Odom, Texas, and the preacher opened the book. And what'd Tony do? He stood up. Nobody said stand. He said he's going to read the Word of God. I'm not going to take it sitting down. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen! Amen! And they lifted up their hands, Amen! Amen! And they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground, Amen! Amen! The Word of God, we're back, Amen! And we have it every day and we take it for granted. Amen, amen, I say. What say you? Is your diet, what is it that you hunger for? Are we not compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, even the small that I've brought here to, before us today? Great a cloud of witnesses, Jonathan, John Bunyan, Jonathan Edwards, William Tyndale, Calvin. King Josiah, Ezra, Nehemiah. Are we not compassed about with so great a cloud? What doth prevent thee? See, here's water. The eunuch told, see, here's water. Philip didn't say, well, you believe now, we got to baptize you. But he heard the word of God and he said, there's water. Can I be baptized? There's water. That's the way it ought to be when you open this book. There's water. I thirst. There's water. Can I be baptized? Yeah, man, read all you want. Read all you want. Amen, amen.